Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back.
Welcome home.
Thank you. It really is good to be back. I came back and promptly caught a cold last Sunday, and then I shared that with Sue, so she's under the weather. But otherwise, had a fantastic trip. We'll tell you a little bit about it, just a tiny bit this morning, but someday we'll show you a bunch of slides and bore you to death. The announcements, I think, are completely in the bulletin. Somebody mentioned the transition team meeting, because that you got an email about. That's not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Other announcements? Yes?
I think I'm losing it, but somebody handed this lipstick to me one Sunday, and I can't remember who it was.
It's mine.
You have to tell me what color it is before you
say it. Chartreuse.
Anyhow, somebody let me know, because was it you? Okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. It was not an advertisement.
No? Okay. That's okay. I mean, some things are important that have got to be taken care of.
Yes.
While we can. So let's refocus our attention on worship. We're using the Chicago Folk Service. And as you, since you have been through this, you may know parts of it better than I do, because I was in on the first version of it, which didn't have all the parts that you have. So, if I stumble, you'll know why. Let's begin. The Lord be with you.
And with you too.
Dear members of God's family, branded in baptism and united in Christ, let us come together honestly to tell God that we have not lived as we could and ask Him for forgiveness. Our Father, we have not fulfilled the hope in which You created us. We repent and ask Your mercy that our sins be forgiven and our guilt removed. Help us to learn from Scripture and from one another Your will for our lives, so that we can help. We can claim the inheritance of the unlimited, which You have revealed to us through Your Son. You came to our world in Jesus. Come to us. God, our Father, does care about us. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to us, and for us, Jesus gave His life. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and all things are new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and who has entrusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are forgiven. In Christ we are free to worship God. In Christ we are free to live without excuses. La la la, hallelujah. We worship God with open hearts. La la. Pentecost. Let us pray. O God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, You are the city that shelters us. the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that we may spread your peace in all the world, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Hymn number 668 in the red book, O Zion, Haste.
Thank you. first reading for the fourth Sunday after Pentecost is from the 66th chapter of Isaiah. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her. All you who love her, rejoice with her in joy. All you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm, and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your body shall flourish like the grass, and it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and with indignation is against his enemies. Word of life, word of God, word of life.
Thanks be
to God.
We'll read Psalm 66 responsibly. Be joyful in God, all you lands. Be joyful, all the earth.
Sing glory of God's name. Sing the glory of God's grace.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great strength, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down before you, sings to you, sings out your name.
Come now and see the works of God. How awesome are God's deeds toward all people.
God turned the sea into dry land, so that they went through the water on foot, and there we rejoice in God.
Ruling forever in might, God keeps watch over the nations. Let no rebels exalt themselves.
Bless our God, you peoples. Let the sound of praise be heard.
O God, has kept us among the living, and has not allowed our feet to slip. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of Galatians, beginning with the seventh verse. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time, if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I will make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the Word has been crucified to me, and I the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be upon them, and mercy upon the Israel of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We all will rejoice.
Sing praise to the Lord. praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He came to show us how to live in the here and now.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He suffered and died for us, and one day he shall return.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. John, St. Luke, rather, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into harvest. Go on your way. See, I'm sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter first, say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your own town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. And whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. See, we have some kids here this morning. You want to come up? If not, well, okay. Come on up. Hi. Now sit over here. All right, what's your name?
Calvin.
Cohen. I know these guys. Yeah. Hey, what's your name?
Adam.
Adam, oh, great to have you with us. Where are you from?
I'm from Virginia.
I'm from Buffalo.
Oh, you're right from here. Okay, super. All right. Well, I know where you guys are from. And have you noticed the candles on the altar? Mm-hmm. Have you ever wondered why we put candles up there?
To serve Jesus.
To serve Jesus, yeah, yeah. We have lights, so we really wouldn't need a candle, would we? It's not dark in here. We have plenty of other light, but we put those lights up on the altar to remember Jesus and to remember that he gives us his word. We have, in fact, on this altar, we have two of them. One of them reminds us of the lessons that he told to his apostles, and the other one of the gospel that he preaches and he teaches for all of us. So every time we come in, we can see the gospel and the lessons of the apostles telling us to be the light of the world. How can you be a light in the world? Have any of you ever smiled?
I have.
Good, see? He's a light. I know that I just saw some smiles here. Some of you tried hard not to smile. But every time you smile, you share a little bit of the light of Christ. Because when we smile, we remind people that Jesus loves them. Now, we don't even have to say the words. So when you go back to sit down, okay? Just smile at them and see if they know what that means. All right? Let's say thank you. Thank you, Jesus, for smiles and for candles that remind us that your good news is with us all the time. Amen.
Amen.
You can have a seat. Now, as I said, we were in Sicily. We took lots of pictures. I have a small digital camera, and I discovered after a few pictures that I have a problem, because when you focus this little camera, whatever is in the center is what it focuses on. And if I have it pointed at the wrong thing when I begin to take the picture, everything else is blurry. So I have to refocus the camera in order to get a decent picture. And as a result, I end up throwing away a whole bunch of pictures that are all out of focus. All of us have to refocus our lives every single day. But all of us need to make sure that we're focusing on the right thing. Now, I'll give you a personal example. I took a sermon file with me so that I would be prepared for today. And I worked all week on this sermon. And then I realized I focused on the wrong lessons. Wasn't for this Sunday. So I ended up having to refocus myself. But have you ever done that, where you're preparing for one thing and then you realize, oops, I focused on the wrong thing? Things have changed over the years. Have you noticed how things have changed? You know, 100 years ago, many of you weren't here then, but 100 years ago, people came to worship no matter what the weather. They may walk or ride a horse or a horse and buggy. And they may walk, and they may even go 10, 15, even 20 miles just to come to worship. That's how focused they were on how important worship was to them. And that focus seems to have shifted. Because today, 3 miles... or 3 blocks, or even 1 block, can be too much if the weather is too hot, or too cold, or too wet, or too dry, or any number of 100 other things that can take our focus off of why we even come to worship. What are we worshiping? Are we worshiping this beautiful building? One of the things that we did, in fact, I think we visited at least 2 churches every single day in Sicily. And when you look at those churches, they are fantastic. I mean, they're beautiful. There was one that it was just one huge building. I have no idea how big, but it was so large you could barely see the front of the church. But all of the ceilings, all of the walls, everything was coated in mosaics. Not just any mosaics, gold-coated mosaics that had been hand-painted and hand-put in there, so that from one side to the other, one side started with the Old Testament stories, all the way around to the resurrection of Jesus.
Wow.
And there was another church we were in that just boggled our minds as soon as we walked in. And I'm thinking, wow. Someone asked, well, why don't we build churches like that in America? And somebody else said, well, they had conviction, we have opinions. Well, that may be true, but there was another reason for many of these big, beautiful churches to be built. And it might have been, excuse me, had to do with the name of one of the churches, the Church of the Purgatory. The whole idea in many of the churches was that by building this, we could get close to heaven. The peasants who built most of those churches out of their own money or their own time did so because they believed they didn't have a chance of getting to heaven. The only chance they had was as they were building these buildings. This was the closest to heaven they would get. We have a different purpose for building. And we can look at this beautiful church and we can focus on the windows or the people around us. But again, like them, we need to refocus our attention not on the past, but on why we are here to worship. The people of Israel had that problem. They had this incredibly beautiful temple built by Solomon. It was one of those mysteries of the world that was so fantastic. People from all over the world came to see it. But in 587 BC, Nebuchadnezzar came in and took them off into exile in Babylon. About 10 years later, he took another wave back to Babylon. And in the meantime, he literally destroyed everything. So much so that even today, the good religious Jews will not walk up on the Temple Mount for fear that they might walk on the Holy of Holies because they don't have a clue where it is. That's how devastated that temple was, and how Nebuchadnezzar also tore down the walls of Jerusalem. And so now in our first reading from Isaiah, it's Isaiah 66, Isaiah is writing to the people as they're being returned to their home. In their minds, they have focused on the temple as they remembered it or as their parents have told them about it. And it's not there. It's devastation. And Isaiah says, God is your hope. Not the temple. Nothing else about the city. But God will be your comforter. God will wrap you in his arms. God will dandle you on his knee. God will see that you have everything you need. In other words, refocus your thoughts not on the exterior, but on the interior, what's in your heart. Paul does the same thing with the people of Galatia. In fact, as you begin to read the book of Galatians, and it's only 6 chapters, so read that when you get home. It's an angry letter. He says, you foolish, foolish Galatians. How astounded I am that you would desert the God who gave you life, the God who gave you grace. Because what has happened is that the Galatians, even though they've received the message of God's gift and God's grace from Paul, they have abandoned that and tried to recapture all of their Jewish roots, all of their Jewish traditions and festivals, and told people, unless you live by these rules, by these festivals, there's no hope for you. And Paul says, that's not true. The truth is, by God's grace, you have been saved. God will lift you up. Not these festivals, not these practices, God himself. Paul, in the lesson we have today from the 6th chapter, says, God is not fooled by all these things, by all the practices and all the things you try to do. God will reward you with what you have done, but God is not the one who falls for all of this other stuff. God's focus is on you and your salvation. You will reap what you sow. If you sow in the Spirit, that's what you'll reap. If you sow all of these other things, these other practices, these other teachings, that's all you're going to get. So focus your attention on God. Jesus says the same thing in the gospel, really, doesn't he? He sends out the 70 to share the good news with people, to heal them and to cast out demons and do all of the things that he did and he planned to do when he visited them next. And they come back and they're thrilled. Man, we saw demons cast out. Isn't it fantastic? And Jesus said, yeah, I saw Satan fall from heaven. And that's really great. But don't focus your attention on that. Focus your attention instead on the fact that by God's grace, you have been saved. That your name has been written in the book of life. May we as a congregation continue to focus our attention not on what we did in the past or what we want to do in the future even, but on what we believe God wants us to do. For God will lead us through all times and all places to his eternal kingdom. That's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This little light of mine.
Children given, even soul and body.
believe in Jesus Christ, His Son, our Lord and Savior, with the Father in glory, mind, and power and glory forever. Born of Mary, Virgin Mother, by the working of the Spirit, He became our elder brother, the heavenly might inherit. Was crucified by sinners all and raised by God to life again. And we in the Holy Ghost believe the grace and comfort with the Father and the Son in eternal glory live, who all Christian people even keeps in unity of spirit. Sins are truly forgiven through the blessed Redeemer's merit.
Join our voices with God's people around the world. Let us offer our prayers to those in need. For the church and its ministries, for pastors and musicians, for teachers and leaders, that their joyful noise clearly refocuses to announce your reign of peace. Come near and let us pray. Have mercy, O God. For your works revealed in creation, for rivers and streams, for thunderstorms and sunshine, and for those preparing for harvest, that you refocus us and inspire our care of the earth. We pray.
Mercy.
For peace and justice in the world, for all levels of government, for areas affected by strife, that those in authority always work for the good of all, refocus us and bring us your justice to all people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For the sick and those who console them, for prisoners and those who show them mercy, for the downtrodden and those who help them flourish, for those suffering from malaria and Zika, and for all in need of special care, especially those we name before you now. And those we name in our hearts, that you comfort them as a mother comforts her child. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. For those spending time with friends and family this summer, for those making employment decisions, for those uncertain that the future, what the future holds, refocus their minds on Christ, who has called us to himself. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
In thanksgiving for the faithful departed, who have inspired us by their witness to the gospel, that with them we will know the confidence of being held in your embrace. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
All peace be with you.
You got through that one.
Glory, glory.
actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image and set us over all creation. Even when we had fallen under the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant of blessing for all people. You rescued your chosen people Israel as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder you proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even giving his life. For us he was lifted up on the cross, that we might know the power of his resurrection, and that we might no longer live for ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believe, to comfort and guide us and make us children of you, his Father. Father, through him and in his name we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit, so that until he comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us. At supper on the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread in his hands, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." When the meal had ended, he took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my body, my blood, of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all people, so that sins might be forgiven. Do this to remember me, for I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God."
Mercy on us.
takes away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Stand as you are able. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Send, Lord, we have your peace. Lord, we have your peace. Coffee through those doors. So everybody shift in that direction.